Without summer school. If your child's academic record shows academic gaps, then the grade placement committee can recommend summer school, but it can also recommend alternative forms of instructional acceleration, such as reading with a parent every evening or tutoring. The instruction should be whatever is in your child's best interest. And once again, I want parents to understand you are a participant in this process. It should have already taken place. If it has not, you have the right to call the school and request the grade placement committee, and you should have the following documentation with you: all of your child's report cards and all of the work he or she has done as homework, as well as any written assignments, classroom tests, projects, etc. In essence, bring everything. Be careful to bring the final report card for that year. If your child had a low test score or other indication of academic performance that might merit retention in the grade, the school, starting with the teacher, is supposed to initiate those discussions several weeks before whatever message you got today, so that there can be a collaborative conversation, monitoring, supportive learning, and also so that parents and teachers and other stakeholders within the public school institution can collaboratively work on whatever decisions need to be made regarding your child's education. If your child has failed classes or has unexcused absences beyond which is required by the school district, in those cases, the child must attend summer school. Once again, I just wanted to kind of break in and be very clear, because I do know parents did receive, and this has been a long-standing practice in Houston ISD regarding the automatic retention pending summer school attendance. I just want to make sure that parents out there know that there are other options, especially if your child is in any grades other than 8th grade, 5th grade, or in essence, not in high school. Of course, this does not apply to high school, because in high school, parents do not have the right to opt out unless you want your child to pursue an alternative means of getting that high school diploma up to and including the GED. I'm not passing judgments. I just want to make sure listeners out there have a clear picture of what all your options are. And now that I have completely busted into the Thresholds program, let's go ahead and kick off officially the Houston Indie Media Show.
Yeah, but real quick, just want to give a shout out and a thank you to the folks at Threshold for giving us an opportunity to share some of these very important educational issues with you this evening. It's an issue that we've been trying to cover and put a lot out there this last school year, and we're going to continue to do that through the summer and into next school year.
And also, it'll be very interesting, just one last thing that maybe people don't understand. You know, I am a huge Pearson basher. Pearson owns over 50% of the market share. It's really disturbing for me to have to use the phrase market share and public education in the same vein. That being said, last week, the Texas Education Agency has dropped a lot of the contracts. Now, of course, we have ETS, another evil corporation, but it's be interesting to see what happens, because Pearson, in essence, has lost all of what was a no-bid, unquestioned contract for the past 30 years with regard to these high-stakes testing. So we're going to have to stay tuned to see what happens with that. Of course, they do retain the contracts for some of our most at-risk learning populations, which are English language learners and special education learners. That being said, let's hear some intro music.
We the people are the ones who are going to have to fight. We used to say, which side are you on? Which side are you on? The truth is, we're in so much debt that the only way out is revolution or war. So now the question is, which side are you on? On, 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 on.
Which side are you on, boy? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boy? Which side are you on, my daughter?
See, before I draw the line, let me welcome you close to all the folks who knew Obama sold the people of hopes. Gave the money to suckers while our community's still poor. Withdrew the troops but started another war. Colonizing, terrorizing, creating the oil crisis so they can make a killing on food and gas prices. Prisons is filling, they trying to lock up the future. Militarized borders and control of computers. Want a stupid bumping music that ain't healthy for the shortest. Privatizing schools and policemen in the hallways. Can't be dormant, I'm awoken. Rise up, be ready.
Hello and welcome to the Houston Indie Media Show. Just want to make a quick announcement regarding our Facebook page. We want to invite all of you to like us on Facebook and go to facebook.com, houston.indiemedia, where we have links to all of our past shows, as well as links to free radical events here in Houston. You can also post your own news links to share on our Facebook. On tonight's show, we're going to be joined by Mario, a student, a recent graduate from the University of North Texas in Denton. Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott was the keynote speaker at their commencement ceremony earlier this month, May the 16th to be exact. And Mario, along with other students, were part of a group of students who organized to boycott the ceremony. Some of Greg Abbott's problematic views are his anti-immigration stance, his stance against same-sex marriage, and his support for Texas anti-choice legislation, HB2, which left only 7 abortion providers in the whole state of Texas. So at this time, we'd like to welcome Mario. Are you there?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Mario. Oh. Can you start at the beginning for us? When did you first hear about Abbott coming to speak to at your school?
Yeah, so the announcement that Governor Greg Abbott was going to be speaking at the commencement ceremony was made on Thursday, April 2nd, through an email that the president sent out to the entire student body. It was that same evening that a group of students from one of the activist organizations got together and decided to start organizing, first of all, some sort of social media, a hashtag and Facebook event page, and then trying to get other student organizations and activists involved in some sort of organized resistance to what the university's administration had chosen for our commencement ceremony.
What are some of the ways that you spread the word around about the boycott on campus, and also how did fellow students respond?
Yeah, so that's actually, it's interesting that as the students who were part of the organizations, out of the conversations we had, we decided against a boycott as in, like, something that we would try to get people to not attend, and rather focus on organizing a protest at commencement itself, along with a petition we drafted up that we would be circulating around campus between early April and the day of commencement. So what we were advocating for was that people sign a petition that would be in support of having student representation select future commencement speakers, along with reasons why we thought that it was inappropriate for the university to have chosen Governor Greg Abbott to speak at our commencement. Especially, I mean, you mentioned in the beginning some of his problematic stances regarding certain populations, you know, the LGBTQ population, women and migrants. So we made sure that we included that on the platform, and that, you know, UNT claims to be a diverse and inclusive institution that is accessible to, you know, anyone of any identity and whatever. So the fact that someone with Abbott's views and policies and the kinds of laws he's been able to advocate for, in some cases, has been able to pass, you know, they completely contradict the university's purported mission of being inclusive and diverse. If you know, we have someone as bigoted as Abbott giving a commencement speech to a bunch of students who, you know, UNT is a school with a lot of immigrant students, a lot of LGBTQ people, and of course a lot of women, and like close to 50% of the students here are people of color. So it's just like...
Could you repeat that percentage, please, of people of color students?
It's close to 50%. If it's not over 50% this year, it's going to be next year. It's projected demographic shift at UNT. So, like, already Governor Greg Abbott is not a popular guy at our school, which is just, you know, one thing. But also, you know, his ideas and his opinions aren't simply ideas and opinions. They're, you know, he's a person in power who's actually implementing some very harmful policies, policies that are directly negatively affecting a lot of UNC's students. And he's also a highly polarizing conservative political figure who, you know, is going to cause some controversy in the first place. But, you know, so effectively UNT politicized our commencement ceremony by inviting Greg Abbott to speak there. And, you know, the student response was, you know, political in its content because the university's move was political. But so we started with that, and we wanted the petition, we wanted an organized protest. However, through talking with students when we were petitioning on campus, we found out that most people that were sympathetic to our ideas just weren't attending. They just weren't going to attend their own commencement ceremony.
So before you talk more about the commencement, yeah, can you just tell us real fast what is the current status of the petition and who are you planning on turning it into if you haven't already?
Yeah, so we gathered several hundred signatures within the course of a couple of weeks. You know, we were only able to be out there with petitions a few days out of April because of the rain. But we have a lot of support and a lot of people who have signed it. So we're planning on turning it in to the president of the university in September so that we can get started on creating that, you know, that committee of student voices for commencement ceremonies, because this university, especially this past year, has been notorious for ignoring, marginalizing, dismissing, and being condescending toward student opinions and ideas and any students wanting to have input in how the university deals with certain decisions, like the choosing of a commencement speaker or whatever other issues have happened this year, and there have been many. So that's sort of where the petition's at. We're kind of, you know, we have a lot of signatures. We're going to turn it in, and we're hoping that if the administration doesn't take action itself, we're going to be pushing it forward in the Student Government Association and seeing if there are, you know, what can be implemented through those channels. But the point of having a student representation is so that we can bring up the fact that there is so little avenue for student input in the selection of, or in any decisions that are being made, because right now we have like a president that's completely restructuring the university and, you know, making decisions like inviting Greg Abbott to speak here, and then like when students speak up about it, he just ignores them, tells them they're silly and immature and whatever else. I know that like having a council of graduating seniors isn't, you know, to vote on a commencement speaker isn't the most important issue. But, you know, the questions that it raises about transparency at the university and student democracy, I think are very important. So that's why we went forward with the petition as we drafted it and the actions as we ended up following through with them.
So at the commencement ceremony, there was only about 30% of students that showed up. I know that the university was kind of giving some excuses as to why that was the case, trying to deflect from the whole Abbott being the speaker situation. So can you talk about the turnout of students and also why you really think they didn't come?
Yeah, so the university was planning on having a very large commencement ceremony. So this is the first year they're having what they're calling a mass commencement ceremony, in which every graduating student is supposed to be present, and the president and whatever keynote speakers are there to congratulate and then confer the degree, you know, basically make it official that we graduated from the university. And so they were expecting over 4,000 undergraduates to attend who were graduating. and some 2,000 or so, or maybe more, postgraduate students. What we got instead were 300 to 400. So we got not, it was actually less than 10% of the graduating student population that attended the commencement ceremony. And the university was prepared they were prepared with two extra buildings with overflow rooms where they would project the commencement ceremony.
That were empty.
What was that?
The rooms were empty.
Yeah, so those rooms were completely empty. In fact, the venue at which the commencement was being held was not even halfway full. So it was kind of a weird sight to see more than half of the chairs empty at what was supposed to be, you know, one of the largest gatherings at the university throughout the whole year. And the governor of the state of Texas was up there, you know, speaking to a few hundred people rather than the several thousand that the university expected to speak to. And the university said that the reason that students and even faculty didn't show up was because of the weather. You know, we had some rain, a lot of rain the week of the commencement ceremony, and because of the weather predictions, they were forced to change venue a day before the commencement ceremony itself. But everyone knew that of the change of venue, everyone knew of like the you know, nothing much was going to change other than we were going from the outside football stadium across the street to the inside basketball stadium. That was really the only difference. But the university maintained that, you know, people didn't show up because of the weather. I don't see how that explains all of it, because people had ample notice of the change. The change wasn't very drastic, and it wasn't just students that didn't show up. It was faculty as well. You know, out of my department in anthropology, I saw two professors out of what should have been 10 or a dozen or so.
Did you by any chance get to, did any faculty express to you or speak with you about their feelings about Abbott speaking at the ceremony?
Kind of. So faculty at UNC and staff especially are a bit afraid to speak their minds regarding certain matters because recently the administration here has been sort of mysteriously asking people to resign their positions without explanation, and, you know, just so like the director of a program will be gone one day and they'll be replaced with someone else the next day. And so like, because of these kinds of changes and the kind of like leadership style that this president has taken, I think a lot of people are afraid to openly support something like the Abbott for UNT campaign. But we did get some support from a few professors who, you know, were concerned with the selection and were concerned with the fact that some of their students, you know, who are members of those negatively affected populations, such as the LGBT population and the migrant population, et cetera, were, you know, outraged. And even people that, you know, were concerned about the fracking ban, for example, didn't want someone like Greg Abbott coming to Denton after he undermined the democratic process.
Can you explain that for our listeners real fast regarding the Denton fracking ban that is...
Yeah, sure.
Not being repealed, but it's not going to be effective anymore.
Yeah, so in... I'll give you a little bit of backstory, not too much, because I know we're limited on time, but there's been a campaign in Denton for the past 6 or more years to ban fracking or do something about it so that the fracking companies comply with very reasonable... you know, restrictions and whatever else. But this past November, the city of Denton voted by a pretty large majority. I forgot what the exact numbers were, but...
I think it was 59.
Yeah, so that sounds right. It was about 59% of the population in Denton that voted in favor of banning hydraulic fracturing within Denton city limits. And... that immediately upset the oil and gas industry, and it upset many of the Texas legislators who, you know, are not too disconnected from the oil and gas industry. But that is something that the fracking ban has, like you said, it hasn't been, well, basically it will no longer be able to be implemented by the city because Texas has just passed, I think, HB 4 that...
It's HB 40.
It's HB 40? Okay, HB 40 that that makes it... that doesn't allow for local cities and municipalities to govern the extraction of oil and gas.
Right, so it'll be the state that will control anything underground, and the local government can only, my understanding is the local government can only control what is above ground, which makes no sense to me. But
Right. But that's what was just passed. So, there was a lot of support for the ban at UNT. You know, obviously there was a lot of support for the ban in Denton as a whole. But UNT being kind of a hub of, you know, slightly less conservative thought, that was something that was very, the ban was very popular at UNT.
There were some folks in the stand holding banners during the ceremony, and were some of those folks anti-fracking protesters?
Yeah, so we were able to get different banners that supported different issues or criticized Abbott on some of his stances. One of them, regarding fracking specifically, said, Greg Abbott, get the frack out of Denton, which can be interpreted in different ways, but, the message is kind of clear that, Greg Abbott is speaking at a university that claims to be green. That's one of the things that the university is always talking about, how environmentally friendly it is. But it invites someone who has led the charge against the regulation of the oil and gas industry and endangering lives and endangering the planet, endangering our environment. And there's no mention of that when it comes to the selection of Abbott with among the university administrators. There's just no talk about that.
So since the ceremony, and you were the sole student who turned your back during Abbott's speech, tell me what was that like, turning your back on the governor's speech, and also being there at a diverse university with an anti-immigrant speaker at your graduation ceremony.
Yeah, so to be honest, I did expect a handful more people to join me in turning their backs, but people, when I talked to them, they just told me they were done with it. They just weren't going to the ceremony. They had it with the university. They had it with Abbott. They just wanted to be done with it. You know, they graduated. It was over.
And what kind of responses have you gotten?
It depends. So on social media, I mean, my friends and my activist friends are obviously supportive. Others think it was a disrespectful and immature stunt by a, immature college liberal or something, which is kind of expected. But I do think that what we did was not only worthwhile but important because we were able to bring up several issues that otherwise might not have been brought up. The issue of transparency, the issue of student democracy on campus, the issues of Abbott's stances on immigration, LGBTQ rights, women's rights, and all that, and then the university's purported support of diversity and inclusion while ignoring those very real issues, that very real legislation, and someone in a position of power that is pushing those strings, pushing a lot of this negative legislation forward. That was, I think, our biggest accomplishment with the banner job and then me turning my back. I don't know what more to say about that other than it was, I know a lot of students at this university that are either immigrants themselves or children of migrants, and that the university would invite someone to speak here who, if Greg Abbott had it his way, a lot of us would not be at this university right now, I think is extremely insulting.
So in the last minute that we have, can you tell folks who are listening if there's any way they can look at videos or pictures or maybe just get more information?
Yeah, so the Facebook page that we started, it was called Abbott Free UNT. And there have been a few reports, including like in the Washington Post, the Denton Record Chronicle, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and I'm probably missing a few others. But that's sort of like the where people can find some information if they just do like a quick Google search. I'm sure they can find some stuff too. But we're hoping this is part of a tradition that has existed across universities with students expressing their free speech at, you know, ceremonies and events where people with a lot of power who are using it to make the world a worse place are able to, you know, resist that. And I think that's important.
Thank you so much, Mario, for being with us tonight. We're going to take a quick musical break. You're listening to The Frackettes. So now we're back with a few announcements for y'all. First announcement, I just want to remind y'all that Houston Food Not Bombs is volunteers sharing free vegan and vegetarian food with hungry people in Houston and promoting peace. So if you're hungry or if you want to help, come to 521 Lamar, which is the downtown library courtyard, on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 7 p.m. Bring vegan food or just bring yourself, and bowls and spoons will be provided.
And also, of course, I went on one of my many public education rants at the top of the show tonight. If that compelled you to get involved or maybe even kind of have a WTH or WTF moment and you want to learn more, Community Voices for Public Education, their next general meeting will be next Saturday, June 6th from 12:30 to 2 o'clock. And that's going to be at the Resurrection Metropolitan Community Church, which is on 2025 West 11th Street in the Heights. And it's going to be an end-of-year celebration, some awards, and also some discussion of local as well as state educational issues. Bring a potluck dish to share or just bring yourself to learn some more. And John, also in terms of keeping with the food theme,
we have
has another one.
Yeah, real quick, tomorrow, 11 a.m. until I guess they run out of food, the Justice Worker Center will be having a fundraiser at 1805 West Alabama. Music and good company. There will be a slight donation requested for the plates sold. Also, join Out of the Flames of Ferguson for the second Know Your Rights workshop this coming Thursday, 7:30 p.m. at the Hennington A. Leaf Regional Library at 7979 Kirkwood. So we hope everyone can make that.
Right. If you're in need of childcare during the workshop or translation into Spanish, call 832-356-4682. And for more information about this event, you can go to facebook.com/OOTFF. Or actually, you can go to the Indie Media Facebook and see all of these events on there, as well as more free events in Houston. That's facebook.com/HoustonIndieMedia. And unfortunately, we have 15 seconds left on the show.
Yeah, real quick, want to, you know, for a good time, this Thursday, June the 4th, KPFT is the media sponsor for Discovery Green events. This Thursday, one of the grandfathers of Tejano Chicano music, David Lee Garza. So we hope folks can make that for a good time.
And also the event tomorrow, the Plate for Justice, kicks off at 11 a.m., 1805 Alabama, for those of you that don't have the address. TFB the media. Peace. All your fables. Don't eat corner soy. The top two products that are almost over.
Why donate your car to KPFT? You can free up space in your garage, you can avoid the hassles of selling your car, there's no need to pay hefty car repair bills, and you turn that unwanted car into an IRS tax deduction. In addition, you're helping to make the Houston area better with unique arts, music, and culture. You help keep